Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 to 15. Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 to 15. Now in this passage of Scripture, Paul is going to come down hard on the legalists. Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 to 15. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Now in reading Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 to 15, you find here that Paul, you know, as we showed you yesterday, had kind of summarized the whole thing, that Christ has become of no effect unto you whosoever you are justified by the law, now turns his guns in preaching or in writing this letter on the people or the man that had come in there to destroy their liberty. Okay? Now here's the deal. Legalists are people who try to suffocate your faith with rules. They try to get you back under the law in order to get control of your liberty by making you do what they say, the way they say it. They are troublemakers and they are a hindrance to you and they're a hindrance to the church. And there are several reasons for this, and those things are listed here in our verses. Now, when we go through this, what we want you to do is we want you to keep in mind religious legalism. Now, I don't mean a situation where there are some local standards or some local rules in the church that allow things to be done decently and in order. Paul said when he preached to the Corinthians that all things should be done decently and in order. What we're dealing with here is a person that takes it overboard and tries to get you back under a legalistic type of salvation where when you obey their tradition or when you obey all of their rules, you come away with the idea that because you are obedient to their rules, therefore you are saved. And as we've seen over and over again in this study of Galatians, you're not saved by keeping the law. You're not saved by keeping certain rules. You are not saved by demonstrating your religion according to a list of things that other men have put on you. You're saved by faith. And when you're saved by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ takes up residence inside of your body. And he then becomes the captain of your salvation. Now, he starts off by saying in verse 7, you started off well. You did run well. Who did hinder you? Okay, well, legalists then hinder you and hinder your ability to grow. Why? Because, first of all, they cause you to disobey the word. Notice he says here in verse 7, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Well, if you're not obeying the truth, you're in a mess. So the first things that legalists do is that they try to cause you to disobey the word. Now look at some examples. In Galatians chapter 2, for instance, in verse 14, Paul, remember, dealt with Peter about his dissimulation with the Jews. That is, he was eating with Gentiles until Jews from Jerusalem showed up, and then all of a sudden he thought, ooh, boy, we're going to be in hot water here. we better not associate with these Gentiles while the Jews come around. And they did that because that was one of the laws of Judaism, that they should not have any association with the Gentiles. All right, now watch what Paul did with Peter. When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, see that, the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, which he did because he was over there eating with them and having some fellowship with them, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? In this case, not to have any association with them, and in order to respect their law. Why are you compelling them to do that? Now notice, he said this, you're not walking uprightly according to the truth. All right, then if that's the case, Peter was disobeying the truth. And the truth of the gospel is that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, but the church of God. So Paul pointed out to Peter the fact that legalism, that is trying to put some people back under the law, causes you not to walk uprightly according to the truth. You're going to walk according to the law, or you're going to walk according to the rules, or you're going to walk according to the tradition. And when you do that, the word of God becomes of no effect. Look in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, look at verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Well, the servant of righteousness is not perfected by serving the law. The servant of righteousness is the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to them that believe. In order for you to do that, you have to be able to keep the New Testament, and you have to walk in Christ. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you have to serve Him in righteousness, not according to the law. Now, back when Jesus Christ was here, in Mark chapter 7, He got after the Pharisees because they had set up a tradition that even went beyond the law. And He said, when they did that, that they made the Word of God of none effect through your tradition which you have delivered. Now, I've studied religions. I've watched these various religions that are going around professing to be Christian religions today. And I've noticed the people who are having to keep some sort of a tradition or legal code. You know one thing they never talk about? They never talk about their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. They never talk about their liberty in the Holy Spirit, because they're not serving the Lord in righteousness. They're serving according to a legal code. So what's happened? What's happened is the legalists that are in their congregations have caused them to disobey the Word of God. What's the second thing that a legalist will do? A legalist will hinder you because he will persuade you against Christ. Look at verse 8. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. All right, well, if it doesn't come from the one that called you, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, then it came from a man. So they are persuading you against Christ. The goal of a legalist is to get you to follow them. And the goal of Christianity, the goal of the New Testament, the goal of the Holy Spirit, is to get you to conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, when they set up the law, they set up themselves as the enforcers of the law. In other words, they put themselves between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happens, you find yourself in a very peculiar position, because you cannot serve two masters. You can only serve one master, and since they are the ones visibly there enforcing the religious rules and the law, you have to end up serving them. In John chapter 9, for instance, in John chapter 9, Jesus Christ came by and found a man that was blind from birth, and he caused him to see. And buddy, when he did that, that created the worst stir between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Pharisees. because the Pharisees wanted all of the attention of the people. Now, when the word came to the parents that this man had been healed, the Pharisees asked them how he was healed. And he says, "We know that this is our son." They said this in John chapter 9, verse 20, "and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should what? Be put out of the synagogue." You see that control? That's called excommunication in legalistic churches. Excommunication means you are no longer keeping their rules. You are enjoying a liberty in Christ, so they get you out of the church. You may not have ever studied church history, but you ought to do that sometime. And those churches that had this very controlling doctrine that put these men in charge of these people's faith were very good at martyring, killing Christians who enjoyed their liberty and wouldn't abide by the local customs and rules of those that were in charge of the religion. So, two problems that we've seen in this text already about legalists. Number one is they cause you to disobey the word because they want you to obey their rule. And number two, they persuade you against Christ. Now, here's the third thing they do. They leaven the church. Look at verse 9. "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Now, in Matthew chapter 16, we're going to see about this leaven. The Lord Jesus Christ warned his disciples about leaven. Of course, they misunderstood him when they first heard the warning, but you'll see how it all turns out. Matthew chapter 16, look at verse 6. "Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread." Now watch it. This is verse 12, Matthew chapter 16. "But of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." These were the legalists back in Christ's day. These were the ones who, when Christ healed a man on the Sabbath day, said, "It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. Well, go back and be sick again. Don't rejoice over the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has healed you. You've got to obey the law. Get on your bed and be crippled." You see how nonsensical that is? These Pharisees couldn't keep the law. If they had a sheep that was stuck in a ditch, they were certainly going to get that sheep out of the ditch on the Sabbath day. And likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ had every legal right to heal on the Sabbath day whenever he came across somebody that needed healing on that day. And There was nothing wrong or illegal about what Christ had done. But he said, you better beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, what are some of these things that they do? Well, in John chapter 12, verse 43, Pharisees, this is what they instill in their people. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. What was the problem? "Many chief rulers also believed on him," according to verse 22, "but because of the Pharisees, they didn't confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." You see, Pharisees, they're very controlling. And the problem is they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that's what legalism instills in people. What happens is that if you have a legal code that's part of your local worship, then what happens is the people who abide by that are praised by the other people who want you to abide by that. And that praise of men becomes more the governing factor than pleasing God himself. You're told by the Lord you're to do everything to the glory of God, and without faith it is impossible to please him. Well, if you're doing all these things and getting the backslap of the men that are there that are in trying to enforce this local rule, why, then you're not serving God at all. You're loving the praise of men. Here's another thing that Pharisees instill in their congregations. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisies. This is the leaven. Because the very people that you are trying to impress can't keep the law they profess to obey. Look in John chapter 7, verse 19. The Lord nailed them on this. John chapter 7, verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go you about to kill me? They denied it. And yet they did kill the Lord, and the law explicitly says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And yet they had to get false witnesses in order to accuse him. They blatantly broke the law that they profess to keep, and legalism will instill in people hypocrisy. Now, I've noticed something. You might be a Baptist. You might be an independent Baptist. That's what we are as far as our church is concerned. We're independent, Bible-believing Baptists. And you may have noticed in your congregation, wherever you've been before, that local custom became more prevalent than keeping the Word of God. You may have noticed that. It's happened before. And then what happens in time is that somebody that's a big shot in the church, the pastor, a deacon, somebody else, falls deep into sin. I don't know this for a fact because I don't know what you saw in the local congregation that you were in. But what I've seen in certain areas where I've seen this before is that the people became very legalistic in their worship. They lost their liberty. They weren't living by faith and doing things to the glory of God. It now became prevalent to really be concerned about what other people thought about you, to seek their praise, and to profess to be obeying a law that they couldn't keep, and therefore there was hypocrisy in the church. This comes from judging based on appearance, according to John chapter 7, verse 24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. People get more concerned about their outward appearance than they do the inward condition of their heart. They seek honor from men like the Pharisees did rather than honor from God. Jesus pointed this out in John 5:44. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? And when that happens, that breeds a hypocrisy and leaven into the church, and the fruit of that thing is sin. It's going to pop up in theft, or it's going to pop up in backbiting. It's going to pop up in adultery. It's going to pop up in some kind of a scandalous deal. And God forbid that any of us should fall prey to that. But the fruit of legality, legalism, instead of liberty, the fruit of that thing is sin. And it becomes big, and it becomes notable, and it tears up the faith of a lot of Christians. And it's very, very sad. All right, now something else about legalism. Well, I'll give you a good example. You just bring it up as an example because it's so prevalent right now. You remember how holy and trustworthy the priests have represented themselves in the Catholic Church? And look at the size of the scandal now and how deep-rooted it was. Because there was such a level of hypocrisy. You have to go to that man and tell him your sins. Who does he go to tell his sins? And he is molesting the people that put their trust in him in the church. That's the fruit of legalism. That's the fruit of tradition. That's what happens when you get away from the pure simplicity and liberty of the preaching of the Word of God. That's the fruit of it. All right, here's another thing. Legalism not only causes you to disobey the Word and persuade you against Christ and leaven the church, but these legalists persecute men who preach the truth. Look what Paul says in verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. You ought to go back to the book of Acts and see what happened to Paul whenever he preached around legalistic Jews. His interest was getting them saved and getting them into the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they wouldn't have anything to do with him. In Acts chapter 14, verse 2, for instance, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against their brethren. Well, they were damning them, trying to send them to hell. Look in Acts chapter 14, verse 19. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, that's a nice thing to do, to a fellow that's preaching the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and preaching liberty in Christ and preaching true biblical salvation, you stone him and leave him for dead? I don't think so. Look at Acts chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. That's what happens, you see. You know a lot of times whether you're enjoying the true liberty of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by how people who have a legal type of religion view your Christianity. Now, today in America, United States of America, you don't see much visible persecution of these. They'll ridicule you behind your back, but not much outward persecution. But they sure did in Paul's day, and they do in some foreign countries, and they'll certainly do it again during the tribulation if you'll read the book of Revelation. Now, what is another thing that legalists do? Legalists hinder you because they destroy your liberty. Look at verse 13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, not legalism, unto liberty, not legality, unto liberty, not rules. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. So there's the rule. If you want to establish rule, your liberty can go only so far as it doesn't promote an occasion to the flesh. But by love, serve one another. So the first part of verse 13, brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. They destroy your liberty. Christ made you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But they don't want you to have that. They want you under their thumb. And if you have liberty, they can't control you. Now look. Why would any well-minded preacher who was interested in your well-being want to keep you under his personal control? When you're in the body of Christ and you're serving the Lord in your local church, then you must be able to grow up in conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and be available to serve him in that body wherever he would have you, as eyes, nose, ears, hands, feet. And if the man is trying to destroy your liberty, who is in charge of that congregation, then you are not going to find the liberty to serve the Lord God and serve that congregation as the thing that God would have you to be, because you will be stifled by the man who is trying to keep you under his thumb. And they do it to destroy your liberty. They hinder you. You can't become that thing that God wants you to be. Don't you know the difference in serving a man and serving in liberty the Lord Jesus Christ under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the authority of his word? All right, what else do they do? They hinder you because they hinder your love. The last part of 13 says, but by love serve one another. And 14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Listen, it wasn't the law that drove the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. It was love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And the fruit of our salvation is not conformity to the law, but conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is he? Well, he's God, and God is love. Hereby shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one toward another. So the fruit of all of this is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. And listen, when you love somebody, you're not going to do anything to hurt them. So the laws about not bearing false witness and not stealing and not committing adultery and not killing are fulfilled if you love them, because you definitely are not going to hurt them. And you're going to do all that you can to please them. And there's no law in the world that can make that happen. You end up serving them out of love, not out of obligation. And legalism is something that you have to do because you're told to do it. Under the law, for instance, it says you do this because you have to, not because you love to. Watch this. The law says you have to do right. Love says you want to do right. Can't you see the difference? It's great to have this liberty when the Holy Spirit has the opportunity by this liberty to conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and cause you by love to do greater things than the law could ever do for you. But if you are going to subscribe to a pattern of law instead of to the liberty of Christ, you're never going to do what you do out of love. for the brethren or for the Lord Jesus Christ. Consequently, we get to the judgment seat of Christ. If you are saved, nothing. Your motive was wrong. All right, legalists also hinder you because they sow discord in the church. Look at verse 15. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. That's a funny illustration, because that's like a dog that doesn't just bite you, but he sits there and tries to eat your entire body. And that's the way it is in legalistic congregations. They start comparing themselves among themselves, and not only to the law, but to each other, and they condescend to those that are of low degree. They look down on them and say, you poor little old thing, you're not nearly as good as I am. You get a bunch of stuck-up Christians in a situation like that, and the result is strife and envy and bickering and evil speaking and backbiting. They say when you get to church, did you see old so-and-so and how she talked or was dressed? Well, you don't want that kind of thing. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of legalism. They sow discord in the church, and therefore they hinder you. Well, what's the conclusion of this thing? Well, they ought to be cut off, according to Paul in verse 12. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. The best thing to do is pray that God would shelve that kind of thing in the church and bring people out for himself who would respond to the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ given to them by the Holy Spirit in the fruit of their real salvation. And the second thing is, the conclusion is, don't worry about it, because they're going to be judged. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever it be, and they will. Because if they are saved, they're going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, and they're going to have to give an account of why they wanted to insert themselves as an authority between them, between Jesus Christ and his word, and the congregation. And truthfully, many of them are not saved. Many are not saved because they're not saved by faith. They're trying to get into heaven by the law, by their works. They're going to find out that they'll wind up in the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20, and there they will be judged according to their works for having damned those congregations that they tried to keep in bondage to the law. So Paul treats the subject very thoroughly. Liberty is a great thing when it conforms you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.